This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
We got to unpack the Broncos preseason game two, which they lost 33-13. It's just preseason, so we don't take a lot from the score, but there were certainly some things, some notes that I had written down that I'm going to go over today. More news coming out of Boulder. Getting weird over there. Getting strange. Now we're fighting over a logo. Chris Dempsey going to join us. DeMar DeRozan is a Nugget. Didn't get Peyton Watson, but you got 37-year-old DeMar DeRozan. Is he starting? Is he coming off the bench? I would imagine coming off the bench with Christian Brown starting. Top stories of the day. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, will join us. UNC football, Mike. It is game week, officially. The Bears play Friday night under the lights against Weber State on Friday. Yeah. Let's get to it. Busy show. The whole show starts right now. Pretty well. 6 of 9, 76 yards, and a touchdown pass to R.J. Harvey. R.J. Harvey, man. Had some good plays in that game. And the touchdown, the little wheel route that he ran, perfectly thrown football. You get some rough news early in this game. Riley Moss, who made a really good play early, right off the bat. Great coverage. And then shortly after that, it was actually on, it looked like Patrick Surtain had forced a fumble. And then they reviewed it, and it looked like the player was down by contact before the ball officially came out. The latest on Riley Moss, we don't really know yet. Peyton said after the game, Riley Moss is good after leaving Friday's preseason game, but we'll see about his injury. Keep an eye on that one. That one's going to, that could certainly affect how the Broncos do business. Although they're very deep with the cornerback room, so that's exciting. But I noticed a few things early in the game. Again, you take the first couple of possessions, and that's pretty much it. Jordan Love was 5 of 7, 56 yards and a touchdown. I thought the initial pass rush was really good. Jordan Love usually struggles when you're blitzing him like that, but a lot of those play action plays, or those play action passes were working. They were so close to getting to him, and then he would find kind of his little basketball term outlet pass, running back in the flats or tight end in the flats, and that seemed to be a little bit of an issue. I thought Marshawn Lloyd, 6 carries, 17 yards, he was running pretty well. It's not a concern. Nothing's really a concern. Nothing is really a freak out and, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl. You could take the Falcons game and go, wow, Denver looks amazing. You could take the Packers game and go the opposite of that. Couple of things that worried me was that Denver, they just didn't look sharp in those first few possessions. Patrick Surtain looked good. He hit, who did he hit out of bounds, man? He was laying the wood. Zach Allen was unblockable while he was in. Red Murdoch, another one to continue to watch out for, led the team in tackles. I think he led the team in tackles in their first preseason game, too. Jonah Coleman continues to impress. Now, again, 3 carries for 9 yards. But there was a run in particular where I think he got like 3 yards, but he should have got nothing. Makes contact, spins off of the tackle, spin move. And those are just the things that I'm looking at, is how do they look in their short time? Because you're not going to give Coleman a ton of carries because you know what you're going to use him for. R.J. Harvey had the one carry, and then obviously the two receptions, one of those being the 21-yard touchdown pass. Bo Nix looked good. Bo looked good. Had a play where he rolled out to his right, found Courtland Sutton, kind of the tippy toe catch, but they reviewed that, said he was out of bounds before both toes went down. But still, Bo looked fine. Keeler wrote in his article this morning, or this weekend, I think it was Sunday, the Denver Post, no more. We don't need to see Bo anymore. They have one more preseason game to go, Friday in Minnesota. You agree? Is that enough? Is that enough of a sample size? Had a couple possessions. He was 6 of 9, 76 yards and touchdown, 129.9 rating, wasn't sacked. I don't think so. I'm good with not playing Bo on Friday.
And I'd like to see him do a couple more drives, but just getting back into game shape. I don't know how much quarterbacks need game shape compared to wide receivers, but I'd say two drives.
Really? I would.
I don't think
even,
they will.
I'm not even messing with it. You got the Riley Moss scare. I don't want to go into that first week with a bunch of questions around Bo. And I know he'd just likely get hurt anywhere else, any other time. But I think I'd rather, at this stage, just say I'm good.
I think that's probably what they're going to do.
Now, the best part of the game, if you're a Broncos fan, was Bo finding Jaylen Waddle in the middle of the field. Whew, that was a nice throw. And then Waddle stretched across the middle, turned it upfield. That's going to be a lot of fun. But it's not just Waddle. Again, we've said it. It's going to open up everything on this offense. Jarrett Stidham was 9 of 15, 82 yards. He had an interception, bad interception. Just staring down. I think it was his tight end. And linebacker makes the pick. And just, it was a really bad pick. Really bad throw. Sam Ellinger played a little. 2 for 2, 10 yards. Jaleel McLaughlin had a 12-yard run outside of that. I mean, he scored 13 points, and you gave up 33. There was only a few highlights, and that pretty much came early in the game. I just think that if you're taking it end-all, be-all, one way or the other, you're wrong. But you do look at little things, like how did Bo look on the run? Looked the exact same as last year. Is there going to be a connection with Jaylen Waddle at one point? Yep, one reception for 35 yards. What do some of the younger guys look like? Jonah Coleman just looked about, again, 9 yards, nothing, but still looks impressive when he runs the football.
I mean, he's the type of running back where he is often going to break that first tackle or spin out of something, and instead of having a 2 yard loss, he'll have a 1 to 3 yard gain. And the Broncos haven't had a lot of those lately.
J.K. Dobbins is kind of that guy. He didn't play. It looked like he suited up, but he didn't really get any action. I for the most part, there's not a lot of major takeaways save for Bo looks fine. Riley Moss, Coach Sean Payton said he was fine, but we'll see. So we're still waiting to hear that. Nothing really stood out. If this were a regular season game, I would tell you, here's what I would tell you if this was a regular season game. Good at the pass rush. Too much cushion on receivers going out into the flats or running backs going out in the flats. Now, if you heard on the broadcast, which was kind of an interesting broadcast, but I agree with this point. This is where you're not seeing a lot of crazy schemes on the defensive side of the ball. That's why I always say like the overs are kind of a fun bet if you're watching preseason football, because there's not a lot of elaborate coverage schemes set up. It's kind of just, hey, you're responsible for this area. As soon as the ball is snapped, you better get to your spot. Not a lot of disguised blitzes and linebackers acting like they're going to cover the flats, and then they blitz or they jump to the, they drop to the middle of the field, and then you see a safety drop down into the flats, and that's when you can get some of those crazy picks. So that's what I noticed, is the pass rush was there. Denver's front, they're going to be able to manhandle a lot of people this year. That game would tell you, oh, coverage isn't great. Too much cushion. But the way they're playing it, Vance did not look happy. Vance Joseph looked pissed off. But again, you're just not going to be, you know, get too elaborate defensively. Do you not want a team to score 33 points on you, whether or not the starting D is playing more than two or three possessions? Sure. But it's just, it's, and same thing with the Falcons. More fun to talk about with some of the highlight plays. But you just can't freak out about it. I think, again, the biggest thing on my mind Friday was, how does Bo look in his short time out there? Does Jaleel McLaughlin do enough to justify Denver carrying four tailbacks? I don't know. I don't know that he did. It would still come down to a semantics thing of, well, we got to have four bodies at tailback, so we're going to carry him anyway. I don't think he did anything to necessarily hurt or help his case. No, I mean, it was just the main thing, again, just seeing Bo out there. I think that puts a lot of things to bed. I do agree with Keeler. I'm of the mindset, nah, that's enough. Got to see a nice connection to Jaylen Waddle. You know, Courtland Sutton was in the game, didn't have a catch. He was targeted twice. Hakeem Butler was in the game. It was another one I was looking at on the wide receiver depth chart. He was targeted twice, nothing. Some crazy deep throws. Just couldn't come down with them. Nobody, like, under the radar came out to me and said, hey, I mean, Q Robinson was good. But we kind of been talking about Q Robinson in training camp. So I don't think there were any of these random names that you're not talking about did anything to make you think, okay, that's a guy to watch out for. And I mean, when you see the score, 33-13, typically that's kind of how it goes. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, we'll get more Bronco stuff later on in the show. We have Chris Dempsey going to join us. Friday after we signed off, the Nuggets made it official, or it was NBA news official, that DeMar DeRozan would join this team. We'll get to that in just a moment, where I think he's going to fit with this roster. Did Denver get slightly better after a very sleepy offseason? Kind of sleepy, but noisy. The Peyton Watson stuff has been noisy. And it got even a little more noisy over the weekend, so I'll talk about that coming up next. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe, only on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Broncos are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Got our beverage of the week, the new Extreme Sour Black Cherry Beatbox from On the Rocks Liquor. Take it up a notch with this lip-puckering sour cherry beatbox. Just over 11% ABV. It's the original party punch. Get yours today at On the Rocks Liquor here in Greeley, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Do me a favor and tell them that. You got the drive-thru available. And so you can just pop by, you know what you want, or you want to go in and just browse the selection that they have. They have a ton of it. And you know what? I learned this earlier this summer. Our guy, Tanner Schwent, wanted some certain type of apple. I don't remember what it was. Some kind of bush light apple flavored stuff. And he said, nobody has it. Nobody has this thing. So I talked to On the Rocks Liquor and they said, we're going to hook you up. We're going to find it. We got some right now. We're going to special order that. figure it out. So if they don't for some reason have what you're looking for, they will find it. You just go call them. Just talk to them. They'll figure it out for you. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I'm going to get to the latest in the Coach Prime saga. That's getting weird. Very interesting person out in this world, a podcaster that's all over the Buff stuff, but seems to be all over a bunch of, you know, a little bit of everything. The sad story coming out of Buffalo, we'll get to that. But what I want to talk about right now, and ahead of our chat with Chris Dempsey, our Nuggets insider, DeMar DeRozan did in fact sign with the Nuggets to get set for his 18th NBA season. Okay. I mean, he averaged 18, a little over 18 points a game last year at the age of 36. Now he's 37. He's going to do the vet minimum. That's how they're able to get this done. They're still over the second apron. But he'll make $3.9 million in Denver, plus the $10 million he's owed by the Kings. Kind of makes it a little bit easier for him to make that decision. His previous contract included a $25.5 million salary for the upcoming season, but only $10 million of that was guaranteed. Now you've got him on a bargain. So his cap hit will add only... just a little over $2.4 million. 18.5 points per game last year. 4.5 assists per game in Sacramento last year. He shot 49.7% from the floor and 32% from three. He's a good mid-range shooter. Really good mid-range shooter. Hell of a player in his prime. It could be a one-and-done type of deal for him, a rental-type player, but it's something. This isn't one of those stories where I look at and say, oh, wow, the Nuggets just got way better today. But after the offseason that we've seen, which is basically Marvin Bagley and re-signing Spencer Jones, the draft was cool, but more project guys, this move stopped the bleeding. I think the bleeding that was caused primarily by the Peyton Watson discussion, and Peyton Watson's agent confirmed what we were all saying. Rich Paul was on the Max podcast, and I thought this was weird that Max didn't even follow up on this, but here is Peyton Watson's agent talking about how the season played out for Peyton and just kind of what this whole process looked like. Go for it.
Let's explain what just happened with Peyton Watson. Clutch represents Peyton Watson.
Yes.
Peyton Watson was moved.
It was a sign and trade.
Sign and trade.
Yes.
And ultimately, what they got back is a draft pick,
picks,
right?
But they couldn't take money back based upon what they had.
So it's really an issue of the way that CBA is structured.
Yeah.
Teams have to make business decisions.
Yes.
And Peyton Watson was moved for a business decision. And he signed a new, what is it, 4 years, $88 million?
Yes. So he was a restricted free agent. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, he did not finish the season. He didn't play in the playoffs. He was dealing with a hamstring injury, soft tissue injury. And when you're dealing with those injuries, you have to be very careful in your return. Guys want to play. You have to protect them from themselves in that moment because you're up for a contract and it's the playoffs and I've had a pretty good year.
Very good year.
Yeah, so I need to play. And it's important to protect that.
How many parts moved to how many different
teams?
It
was a five-team trade.
So it was five altogether?
Yes, it was a five-team trade.
It's a lot of men. It's like that because the NBA has these ridiculous rules where things have to match up a certain way.
Yeah, but also Cleveland had to move a player and a pick, two picks. Washington got involved and got a player from Cleveland that they was actually looking for. They were looking for a third point guard. Charlotte got involved moving a player. The Clippers was involved because they took in a player.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that is a lot.
I thought it was odd that Max didn't follow up with, like, the portion where Rich Paul's talking about, you know, he had the hamstring issue, and it was one of those things where more or less he said, you got to remember, he didn't finish the season. He didn't play in the playoffs. He was dealing with a hamstring injury, soft tissue injury. And when you're dealing with those injuries, you have to be very careful with your team. Guys want to play, and you have to protect them from themselves in that moment because you're up for a contract and it's the playoffs. I've had a pretty good year, so I need to play, and it's important to protect that. Sounds like, I know there's a lot of shade being thrown at Peyton Watson. Sounds like Watson wanted to play. Agent steps in and says, here's the business of this deal, man. You could play, but if you re-injure that, or you're not able to play at your best with the injury, your value is going to go down. So that's something to think about. Is it right of Peyton Watson to do this? Did he make that decision? Yeah, ultimately he did. He made that decision. If this is all true, I mean, why are you not? Why wouldn't you believe in his agent? Rich Paul's a well-known agent. LeBron James' agent. But they're protect. This was a business decision. And a lot of people, if you're not following along, you see Nuggets trade up-and-coming young, good player, Peyton Watson. What's going on with Denver? Why would they trade that guy? Well, he thought he was worth a lot more. He thought he was worth more than what he ended up getting, which was $22 million. But we got a lot of factors here. He wasn't crazy that Christian Brown got the contract first and not him. That it was the decision of whether or not to pay Watson or Brown, and then it went to Watson. Probably wasn't crazy about the offer they originally gave him, which was closer to the $14 million. And probably wasn't crazy about the Nuggets announcing, making it be known that, hey, if there's a team out there that will pay him $30 million, we're going to be willing to match that. That scared teams. Scared team. Now, they ultimately get the trade, sign and trade done, and they get draft picks for it, which is all they could get. They could use those draft picks now to try to get a player down the road by the trade deadline, whatever. It's just one of those things where it just felt like it was a perfect storm of negative between the Nuggets and Watson. Yes, Michael.
I take the Nuggets side. I take the Nuggets side. If you're not going to go all out for the playoffs, I know you're injured and you don't want to re-injure yourself. But like, if you're not injured enough to not play in the playoffs, how do I know I can trust you?
Well, contract year is tough because the retort to that would be, well, I'm signed now. Got my long-term contract. I'm all in. But I had to be careful in a contract year. I know you grimace, and I get it. I feel the same way because at the end of the day, it's like, what are we doing here? Isn't it all about winning championships? But if he gets re-injured, if he's pulled out for any reason in a game like that, and it's hamstring related, forgive me for the phrase, but teams look at this and say damaged goods. Okay, he's young, but he already had one hamstring issue. Can't seem to get over it. Let's just see how he does next year before we bite, if anybody else is going to bite. Because then he'd be on his full, you know, his real contract year. I get it. It's frustrating. I do think it makes the Nuggets situation look a little better. A lot of people freaking, oh, the Nuggets are cheap and da-da-da-da-da. They're not cheap. They pay players. We want to argue as to who they pay. There we go. But it's not that they're cheap. 31 minutes after the hour. We'll get into it. Chris Dempsey going to join us, our Nuggets insider. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Did the Denver Nuggets salvage a relatively quiet offseason by picking up DeMar DeRozan? Joining us now to talk about the Nuggets and more on Peyton Watson, too, Chris Dempsey, our Nuggets insider. Chris, my man, always good to catch up with you on a Monday after, I mean, we get the crazy news that DeMar DeRozan is officially going to go to the Denver Nuggets late Friday.
Yeah, we talked about that, and I was very skeptical as to whether that would happen or not. But one of the things I think I did say is that I just didn't believe that he would take, you know, a veteran minimum contract, but he did. And so if that was going to be the case, then obviously the Nuggets were going to be able to be players in that situation. So, it's an interesting addition to the team, right? Because on one hand, you have one of the truly great scorers in the league's history is what you have. You know, his career average is 21 points per game, I believe. And, you know, you're just talking about a guy who's a total bucket. He's a clutch player, makes shots late in games all the time. At the same time, obviously, not a three-point shooting player really at all. And so, what will the offense look like when he's on the court? How will they just kind of run the – there's just a thousand questions. But for a Nuggets team, it's obviously been a very challenging summer, let's just call it that, in terms of finances. They're taking a swing here. We'll see if it pays off.
Yeah, talk to me about, you know, again, we all know the version of DeMar DeRozan that we watched for many, many years, how good he was, especially with Toronto. Talk to me, you discussed his three-point shooting defensively at this age. You know, what do you have to say about his defensive abilities at this point, Chris?
You know, it's in the back nine. You know, let's put it that way. You know, he's going to give effort on that end, but certainly not the same effectiveness level as earlier in his career. And so that's why this is a swing, you know, because you're taking a player that can still score the ball. You have a bench that needs scoring off the bench, but also you have a basketball team in the Nuggets that defensively wants to get better. And I don't know that they've exactly done that. So, you know, that's why it's a risk. But when you're in the financial situation that the Nuggets are, that's about all you can do. And so I think they're just going to hope for the, to accentuate the positives here in terms of his scoring and his offensive abilities, and then hope that, you know, players like Spencer Jones, Alpha Diallo, Marvin Bagley at the rim can you know, help make up for some defensive shortcomings in some other areas.
Chris Dempsey joining us. What he had other suitors. What do you think it was ultimately that made sense for him to come to Denver?
I'm sure playing alongside Nikola and Jamal, yeah, and looking at this basketball team and saying, okay, you know, obviously everybody is kind of looking at Oklahoma City and San Antonio in the Western Conference as the favorites in the Western Conference, but obviously the Nuggets are really, you know, depending on who you talk to, they're right there or super close. You know what I'm saying? So if you're DeMar and you're chasing the title a little bit, this is a really good team to come to, because one, you know, the top notch talent is as good as there is literally in the world. And then part two, you know, they have a need for you, as a scorer. So even though you're not going to be starting, probably, I mean, I'm just assuming here, even though you're not going to be starting, there still is a significant role for you to have an impact as a scorer. I'm sure they just told him, we're going to put the ball in your hands, so don't worry about, you know, only getting, say, five or six shots a game. We're going to put the ball in your hands primarily with the second unit, maybe a little bit of crossover with some starters, and then we're going to let you do your thing. So I think that's very attractive to a player that still believes he's got a lot left in the tank and can score the ball a little bit. So I think those would be the factors as I see them, the reasons why he would have chosen the Nuggets over anybody, over the other suitors.
Chris, at this point, I kind of feel like, okay, kind of salvaged a weird offseason, a quiet offseason with getting DeMar DeRozan. I don't think he's the end-all, be-all, but I think he's still, as you mentioned, he's still a good player. We'll see kind of how that ultimately works for Denver this upcoming year. But in your mind, is Denver where they were August 24th last year? I think all of us were pretty excited. Tim Hardaway Jr., Big Val, Bruce Brown's coming back. Are the Nuggets, do they have that same kind of feeling today on August 24th that we had last year at this time?
No, they do not. You know, it's been a tough summer in terms of, you know, we all were kind of waiting for the Peyton Watson shoe to drop, right? So, like, that was something that was very disappointing because of the type of player that so we go into this offseason with thoughts on the type of player that the Nuggets needed to add to their roster, athleticism, defense, these kinds of things. And you let your the best player was already on your roster in terms of those things, and now he's not on your roster. And now, look, the flip side of that is you're going to say, well, Marvin Bagley is pretty athletic, and Alpha Diallo is a really good defensive player, and those things might be true. But sometimes there's a reason why the players kind of bounce around places. And so, and in the case of Alpha Diallo, you know, he is almost a clone player to Spencer Jones. So, I mean, right on down to almost the size, you know, both 6'7", both defensive first players, both be like, you know, so I'm not sure how much of a role he'll play unless there's a lot of injuries happening as well. So, it's definitely not the same as last year. I think last year we were looking at this basketball team going, okay, here we go. This is a championship looking roster, or at least an NBA finals looking roster. And I don't think that we can look at this year's roster and say that. Now, if they get Aaron Gordon to be healthy the majority of the season and just their starting lineup to do that the majority of the season, then they can play with anybody. Their starting lineup is as good as there is in the NBA. If they do not get that, then it could be kind of a little bit of an up and down season.
Chris Dempsey joining us talking all things Denver Nuggets. Well, you probably heard Rich Paul talking, you know, Peyton's agent talking about this. Kind of talked about it. We all kind of maybe thought, yeah, maybe he's making a business decision. Then you hear Rich Paul makes it sound like maybe Peyton wanted to play in the playoffs, but the agency jumps in and says you got to be careful. How do you view the breakup now between the Nuggets and Watson? Do you sympathize with the Nuggets more? Do you sympathize with Watson? What's your view on this, man?
I think this is a situation that I have seen before in this league where, a player will – or the agent tells the player. The player wants to play. The player always wants to play. And I'm sure Peyton Watson wanted to play. And then Rich Paul was like, nope, you're not playing. it was interesting, Brady, because – if you go back to last season's playoffs and you saw Peyton Watson, he was literally warming up in front of everybody. I remember saying at the time, I don't know what's going on with his body, but he looks like he could probably get out there and play. But you didn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt what was actually happening with his hamstring and whatever else. And so, to have Rich Paul kind of spell that out, just very, it was very clarifying to all of us how this went down. And so, if you're going to blame Peyton Watson, I'd say maybe pump the brakes a little bit. Is he an adult? Could he have just put himself out there, and just defied his agent's orders? Sure, he could have done that, but that almost never happens. And when your agent is known for getting his clients literally hundreds of millions of dollars over these last few years, then you're just going to do what he says because he knows how to maximize your market value. And he was able to do that, $22 million per year. And so it's too bad for the Nuggets. And I think I would sympathize more with the Nuggets because Peyton was a player that they most certainly could have used against the Minnesota Timberwolves and might have been able to, if not completely swing the balance of power in that series, certainly not get the Nuggets in a situation where they're down, 3-1, or they just didn't look like they had the athletes to be able to continually stay with Minnesota, even though Minnesota was missing Ant Edwards and Dante DiVincenzo. And so it's just it's too bad because if you get through Minnesota, the Nuggets had shown during the regular season that they could go toe to toe with San Antonio at any point in time. And so, you start to think about the possibilities of where this team could have been. But business got in the way and they didn't have one of those players. And then they couldn't pay him as much as Cleveland could pay him. And now he's gone.
So when you see, because we're all seeing it, like the Kroenkes are cheap. They're not paying. And I'm looking at it going, well, they pay guys. They just don't always pay the right guys, Chris. But when you see that kind of stuff, what does that do for you? Like you said, you kind of I'm in the same boat, honestly. I kind of get both sides. I can get why the Nuggets would be a little upset when they hear this information or they kind of thought this was going on, but I also don't completely fault Peyton Watson and the agency. I get it. It's a business at the end of the day. But there's a lot of hate going after the Kroenkes with how this was handled.
Well, so and I think the issue here and actually Josh alluded to this in a press conference, and I wish I could remember which one it was. It might have been even a couple of years ago, a couple of seasons ago. And, you know, the issue here really is how much money they gave just a few players and right prior to the second apron coming into effect in 2024. Now, I know there's a lot of people that I've had a lot of people talk to me about, well, if this is a Christian Brown issue, it really actually isn't a Christian Brown issue. It's a, you paid players early and paid them a bunch of money. And so like Nicola and Jamal, certainly they deserve those dollars, but those are really big dollars. And then you paid Aaron Gordon early, which right about the time the second apron was coming into effect. And so now you have so much money devoted to three players that it becomes a little bit of a problem. But then the second apron comes, but then you still pay Christian Brown $25 million per year, and then you add Cam Johnson, even though what you had done, you had paid Michael Porter Jr. too, but you traded him away to be able to get some relief, but it was too late. You had too much money wrapped up into just a few players, and when you pay them early, then you lose your flexibility. So the reason a team would want to pay a player early if they feel like they project that he's going to be a significant player for them is that you can get them at a quote-unquote, I'm air quoting this here, at a cheaper rate. So instead of if Christian Brown, they signed Christian Brown to the money that they did. If they didn't do that, and then he repeated the season that he had when they paid him, and so he like then that dollar figure could go from 25 to maybe 30 or 28 to 30, and they don't want to pay that; they want to pay this, and so you pay players early, and that's what the Nuggets have done. This goes back to Tim Connelly and Calvin Booth. So, but you get in trouble if players get injured and can't play for you, and then you eventually got in trouble because the second apron made it so that you couldn't just not care about the luxury tax for 1 year, because it's not just a luxury tax issue. It's a roster building issue with the second apron. And so now you just can't play players. And so like, look at the additions to the roster this year. Tyus Jones, 1 year deal. Marvin Bagley, 1 year deal. DeMar DeRozan, 1 year deal. Alpha Diallo, 1 year deal. This is all you can do now because the second apron is not allowing you to be able to properly fill out your roster. And so I think this goes back years with how the Nuggets did business. It is coming to roost with this, and it really just came to a head here this summer. And I got to believe that going forward, there are a lot of lessons learned from how they used to do business to how they will do business in the future in terms of contract, who they give contracts to, when they give those contracts, and then also looking at the future of the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, what's coming down the pike? Is there going to be another apron? Is there going to be another, you know, like, things like that that would negatively affect how you build your roster if you dole out too much money too soon.
Yeah, no question. They're all kind of learning with this apron stuff as they go. A lot like us. I don't know if I've ever fully learned it, Chris. You always have to kind of give us an update on that. Chris, always appreciate your insight, my friend, and we'll see what happens. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, my guy. We'll talk to you.
All right, Chris Dempsey. I mean, you hear that. You hear all the one-year contracts and stuff. Let's call it what it is. Feels like the Nuggets are kind of just taping this thing together until next offseason. If they win, they win. If they don't, then it's kind of expected, and we're gonna wire this thing together and hope for the best.
Yeah. So are they still going to be in the second apron next year?
Yeah, they're still in it. They still need to move a piece because they were a million or so over it. And then they didn't do anything. They picked up DeMar DeRozan. So they're even further into it. $4 million probably. $5 million maybe.
But $5 million is better than a brand new, very large contract.
Yeah, one you can't get out of. But that's, you look at the actual payroll for this team, and that's where my mind goes. That this season is really about hoping for the best, But we know that this year, next year, is the year we can try to actually do something. 11:51 the time. We'll take a short break here. Coming up, we got some wild top stories. We got Browns news. We got Coach Sanders news. We got WNBA news. And LSU news. Leave it to Lane Kiffin. We'll be right back.
You want Broncos football?
Broncos on three! One, two, three!
Then you want Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Joe Cravens, former Big Sky basketball coach, now Big Sky broadcaster, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1, 1310 KFK. You better listen. It's more fun than getting dirty.
Buckle up for top stories of the day, Mike, because we got a lot to hit. I'll get to the text, too, on the other side of the break. But, Mike, we're going to have Mark Johnson on, waiting for confirmation on that, the voice of the Buffs, but we'll see. There's a lot to talk about, a lot of news surrounding Coach Prime, not just the subpoena thing. There's a new one added to the mix. We'll touch on it coming up next. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.